Okay, we are continuing our series on the heart of the matter. And today we're going to be looking at Everyone Grows, but first, the memory verse. So, who can fill in the blanks for me? The is not in keeping his, as some understand slowness, instead, very good, he is patient with us, with you, not anyone to, but everyone to come to repentance. Okay. You guys only have one more week. Next week it's just going to be a bunch of dots up there and you have to fill in everything probably. But we'll keep working on it. In our series, we're basically looking at the heart of God. And in this series, man, I keep turning my machine off up there. In the past, we've looked at everyone matters to God. And one of the things that we learned from that, or some of the things that we learned, is that God created us for a relationship with Him. He knows us individually, and He has provided salvation for us. And He's made us to share in His love with others. And God desires for us to glorify Him in our everyday life. Last week we looked at everyone belongs, and some of the things we looked at there was once we believe, we become members of this mysterious thing called the church that really doesn't have a lot of explanation up until this point what the church is. We now have the ability to enjoy God and live a life of freedom. We have the ability to no longer be encumbered by sin and weighed down. We now have freedom in Christ to live a life like no one else has ever lived before. We should love and encourage other members of the church, and also we should love and encourage people outside of the church. And then we have a responsibility to pray for ourselves as a form of communication between us and God, and lift up our petitions to Him, and then also to pray for others. And we belong to God permanently. There is no one, there is no thing that can separate us from the love of God. And so that's where we left off this last week. So this week we're going to pick up with Everyone Grows. And the next week we will end this series with Everyone Serves. And as we get closer to the end of this one, growing and serving kind of start blending together a little bit. Because it's a natural outgrowth that once we grow in Christ, we start reaching out and doing things for people around us. So today, as we look at Everyone Grows, we're going to look at time to start growing. When is that time? What do you mean you don't want to grow? Because some of us can become very stubborn. And I'm sure many of us have met people that they say that they are saved, but yet they have no desire to grow in their relationship with God. And then we're going to look at a few benefits of growing in our relationship with God, and then we will take a brief look at our responsibility to help others grow. And then what we're going to do is we're going to end the day with an 11-minute video that I think kind of wraps this all up. And it says it in a way that I think is better than what I could say, or better than what I could wrap it up. So as the elders were thinking about this as one of our core values, this is what we came up with, or this is what we wrote about Everyone Grows. God's desire for everyone after they put their faith in Christ is that they continually grow to become more like Christ by avoiding actions and attitudes that are displeasing to God and by following in the steps of Christ in His love and ministry to others. Thus, it is the privilege and responsibility of each follower of Christ to pursue Christ-likeness in their personal life, assist other believers to grow in their pursuit of God, and to train new believers in their relationship with God. So that's basically, when we look at this as one of our core values, that is what we're talking about. So we're going to start with a time to start growing. You know, now that we matter to God, and now that we belong to God, it's our responsibility to start growing. But I think one of the things that we need to realize is that just as God pursued us for salvation, He also still is actively involved with us in wanting us to grow and helping us to grow. We need to realize that this is not, now I'm a believer, now I have to do all these duties in order to grow in Christ. What it is God comes alongside of us. He gives us the Scripture, He gives us the Holy Spirit, and He works in us to complete what He wants us to be. So if you look at these verses out of Philippians 1 and 2, "For I am sure of this very thing, that the one who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus. So here we see that the one who began the good work is going to finish it. He's going to keep working with us till Christ returns. And in Philippians 2, it says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." So once again, we see that it is God who is going to work in us and is going to help us. But there's some responsibility on our part, too. When He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, He's not saying you have to work it out to keep it. But He's saying, work it out. Continue to grow. Continue to know who Christ is. And continue to walk closer with God. So when I say, what do you mean you don't want to grow? Let's take a look here at the Corinthians. And here Paul really rebukes the Corinthians. Because when he first came to them, he established the church. And they were babes. And he fed them milk. Now he's been away for a while and he's starting to address them. Or he's writing to address them. And once again, he finds out that they haven't matured, that they are still babes. That for some reason, once he left, they started acting like the world again. And so, in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, we read, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans?" What he's saying here is, you guys have not taken hold of the riches that we have, that you have in Christ Jesus. You are still acting the same. The Word of God or what we have taught you has not affected your life at all. And now he's rebuking them and saying, you know, you should be drinking or eating solid food now. You should not be drinking milk anymore. In Hebrews 12, we read this, My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. And later on, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. If we are unwilling to grow in God, he is going to bring discipline into our life to bring us back and to show us what we need to be doing. And a lot of times we need that discipline because we're unwilling to give part of ourselves back to him or give ourselves to him fully. And so he has to come alongside of us and say, you know, Grady, we got to work this out of your life. And so here's a lesson for you. And I'm always the one that learns the hard way. I remember when I was growing up, there was a block of dry ice out in the grass. And I think it was my uncle said, don't go pick that up because it will burn you. And I'm like, how is ice going to burn you? So I went and picked it up. So learned the hard way. But that's not the way that God wants us to learn. God wants us to learn in a loving, kind way. He brings in discipline when we're unwilling to yield to him. And so the benefit of his discipline is it produces righteousness and peace in us. So why would you not want to grow? Why would you want to have to go through discipline in order to grow? It's a lot easier growing when you don't have someone exercising some type of discipline over you. Let me show you some benefits of growing. In Ephesians 4, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Who here still thinks like they did when they were 2 years old? Or behaves like they did when they were 2 years old? I mean, maybe the little baby in the back. Maybe that's the only one. But that's not even a two-year-old yet. So, there is a natural progress to growth. We can't stay as infants. If you stay as an infant in our world today, it just doesn't work. And I think one of the important things here is that there are going to be times when we still act immaturely or we don't do things in the manner that we're supposed to. But I think the important thing here is that God wants us to grow so that we can become that mature individual, that mature, and corporately too, we're talking about. This is to the church he's talking in Ephesus. He wants them to grow together as a body, as a unit. And that takes maturity on a lot of people's part. So the goal for us is maturity in Christ, so that the body functions the way that it's supposed to function. The Corinthians were an immature body that functioned inappropriately. And if you go through and read out of 1 Corinthians all the problems that they had, it was because they were not willing to yield to God. And so that's what we need to be doing. In 2 Timothy, Paul here is encouraging Timothy to continue in what he has learned and heard since he was a child. He's talking about the Scriptures, mainly Old Testament. It's key to understand and know Scripture and understand how to look at it and read it and how to apply it to our lives. And one of the things that we need to do is build in the capacity in us to see people in need and then know how to respond to them. As we look at these verses out of 2 Timothy, "Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and becoming deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work." As we grow and we mature, we do what we are designed to do. As new people in Christ, as new men, women in Christ, we are designed to do good works. Not for our salvation, but we are designed for good works to be the glory of God in this world and to show Him, show the world who He is. It's part of our new nature, and we need to be doing that. But the only way we know what we're supposed to do is when we get into Scripture and when we get with other believers and we talk with them and we grow and we mature. Now, what do I mean by now go help someone else grow? In 1 Timothy 4, "If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." We're going to talk a little bit more about this next week, about serving others and helping them grow. But I want to touch on a couple of things here. We need to help each other be nourished with the truths of the faith. It's part of one of our responsibilities. And we do that by sharing our lives, and we do that by teaching. And when I say teaching, I don't mean the person up front here. It could be Sunday school teacher. It could be working with the kids. It could be in small groups. It's basically sharing what you know about Christ with somebody else. One-on-one, small group, large group, doesn't matter. But we are to come alongside and assist other people in learning. You know, I got to thinking, too, of when people first get saved and they come to the church, they have a lot of misconceptions about what the church is. Some people come thinking it's a lot of rules and regulations that you have to follow. Some people believe that God helps those who help themselves. I mean, we all heard that, but that's not in Scripture anywhere. So one of the things that we have to do as new believers come in, we have to meet them where they are. We have to talk with them. We have to find out what their belief system is, and then we have to share Scripture with them to help them understand what it is that's really true about Christianity. I think of Doug and some of the things that he shared about the tribes over in Papua New Guinea, of how they don't understand some of the illustrations that are in the Bible, so they have to come up with an illustration from their own culture that they can use to make that truth available. That's one of the things that we need to do too with our culture. But that takes us being in the Scripture and knowing what to do. Further on in 1 Timothy, it says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you." Just like Timothy, we have to be examples to others around us. If we are not examples of godliness, then how do we expect the body to mature? So with each other, we have to be good, solid examples. And if you look at this in speech, how we talk with one another, conduct, how we run our everyday life, in faith, how do we exercise our faith so that other people can see it? And then are we doing things with pure motives? And how do we demonstrate that to other people? And then later on it talks about each of us needs to use their giftedness. And we'll talk about that more next week. Because each one of us is gifted a little differently. And that's going to affect the way that we serve the body. Everyone has its place. Everyone has its role. And so we'll look at that next week. I want to end today with a video. It's about an 11-minute video that I think demonstrates what God wants to do in our lives to help us to grow and to bring us into that full, mature relationship with Him. So if we could show the video. So our goal now is to grow more into the image of His Son every day. So this week, think about what you need to do to start doing that. Where is it that you need to allow God to chisel away in your life so that you can have a more consistent, vibrant relationship with God, and then start putting those things into practice. Father, today we just ask that You would work in our lives and chisel away at those areas that need to be chiseled. Father, that You would reveal to us through Scripture and through other people and through our times that we spend with You, those areas that we need to let go of. And as we do that, we just want You to know that we do love You and we do desire to become more like the person that You desire us to be. So thank You for working in our lives and to continuing to pursue us even after we come to know You. In Jesus' name we thank You. Amen.